16, and I'm going to read just two verses. Once, having been asked by the Pharisees, and I read from the New International Version, once after being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation. Nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is truth. We pray now that you would grant that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts will be acceptable unto you, our strength and redeemer. Amen. In verse 21, Jesus makes a profound statement, and he says, "The kingdom of God is within you." Now, there are some things about our world that are very disconcerting. Let me just mention a few things to you. It is recorded that every 10 seconds, hunger kills another child. We are told that 8,000 children under 5 die every day of a hunger-related cause. It is also recorded that in 2008, 9 million children died before they reached their 5th birthday. Are we told that 1 in 6 persons goes to bed hungry every night? That's 1 billion out of 6 billion people on earth. We ask the question, what kind of world is this? It also seems that we are passing through an extraordinary period of natural disasters. The people of Kathmandu in Nepal have not yet recovered from the earthquakes that rocked them a few years ago. The loss of life and property was great, and they're still trying to recover. We hear of earthquakes happening in Japan on a regular basis. Tornadoes have caused major damage in eastern India and in the USA, and last week in Tembisa. Right here in our country. Flooding has caused severe devastation in Bangladesh. Severe cold spells have plunged parts of the world into a deep freeze. You know, there was the big climate change conference, and certainly you're not sure anymore what the seasons are. You just expect what comes. I mean, we had storms last week in Johannesburg in the middle of winter, which is totally unusual. Fire has caused great damage in California, and it does so on an annual basis in Australia. Yes, we are passing through an extraordinary period of natural disasters. But at the same time, we are passing through a frightening period of political instability. In Libya, in Tunisia, in Egypt, once powerful political regimes are facing the might of people power. What about the refugee crisis in Europe? It's a major problem. And in fact, it's probably the major cause of Brexit. In democracies that were once deemed stable, forces are at work seeking deliberately to place people at enmity with each other. Last week, we saw the problems in Turkey. What about the current events in Turkey? The prolonged economic recession that continues to grip our world is having a negative effect. What about the effects of Brexit? It has just happened. We haven't yet seen the outcome. While all this is happening, we face religious turmoil. In parts of India, Hindus are becoming more militant than ever. In sections of the Muslim world, some of the faithful are becoming jihadists of the most violent sort. You just think of the word ISIL or ISIS, the Islamic State. In the Western world, some fundamentalist Christians are stirring up opposition to and disrespect for the rights of people of other faiths. Meanwhile, opposition to religion is increasing. And a growing number of people are turning their backs on religion, claiming that it's one of the forces of backwardness and injustice in our world today. How does one respond to these situations? Let's come back home. What about the South African situation? There are a few buzzwords at the moment with regard to the South African situation. Poverty, service delivery, corruption at every level, unemployment, crime and violence. We've not yet had the election already. 10 politicians have been killed. The strike syndrome. Someone asked me, when are our pastors going to strike? Everybody's striking these days. And when are we getting a pastors' union? Immorality. The elections. Everybody's curious to see what's going to happen in Swanee, what is going to happen in Mandela Bay, Nelson Mandela Bay. Now, how do we respond to what we see happening in the world, and particularly the disconcerting events? Well, there are three responses. We may respond with pessimism. We seriously consider and reasonably conclude that the situation is grim. And we decide that all is lost. And then we throw in the proverbial tell saying, futile, futile, life is a futile game. Life has become meaningless. But that's not the only response to the current dilemma that the world faces. Yes, you can respond with pessimism. We may respond with optimism. That's the second response. We peep through the window of life's challenges and we agree that life is really hard, that the level of suffering is unbearable, that the prospect for change is dim. Yet we may conclude that the situation could be worse. So we decide to set our minds on liberation from the shackles of this terrible age. And we say to ourselves, it must get better. There must be a way out of the current dilemma. And we tell ourselves, we will not lose heart. We will never give up because things are going to get better. Now, those of us who've been around for a little time will know that things have never got better. They just seem to be getting worse and worse. And as we see it, let's not forget that Jesus is coming. He says, when you see these things, remember that your redemption is drawing near. And so we acknowledge the sick state of the world, but we adopt an optimistic attitude toward it. And we simply decide that things are going to get better. Now, in the face of the crippling state of injustice and the absence of peace in the world, some people respond with pessimism, some people respond with optimism. But there's a third way. And that, a third way to respond to the despairing state of the world. And that is the way of hope. There's a third way. You can be pessimistic, you can be optimistic, or you can be hopeful. What does it mean to live with hope? One commentator says this, and I quote, it is to be able to say no to the spirit of defeat and failure, the spirit of agnosticism and atheism, the spirit of cynicism and suspicion. While so much that is negative and discouraging is going on in our world, we are able to declare as believers, I can go on, for I live with hope because Jesus is alive. Amen. Jesus is alive. You remember that hymn, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he's living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. What does it mean to live with hope? It is to be able to affirm by faith that despite all the eye can see, despite all the ear and the mind can, the ear can hear and the mind can conceive, God is eminently able to do whatever God desires, both in the here and now and in the future. I can go on, for I live with hope, and I live with hope because God still remains the Supreme One, ever present and altogether powerful. You know, if you have that, you don't need to pack your bags to go to Australia. You can live here with hope. And to live with hope is to rest with unfading confidence in the truth. And what is the truth? The truth is a person, Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior, in whom the kingdom of God is present. Long time ago in Palestine, our Lord Jesus Christ painted a beautiful landscape of hope when he uttered those memorable words which we should never forget. Our reading: once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." Now, Jesus taught his disciples that the kingdom of God was within them. God gives us the opportunity to turn inward and to draw upon the resources that is given to us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Christ lives in us. How does he live in us? He lives in us by his Spirit. And God gives us the opportunity to turn inward and to draw upon the resources given us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul writes and he said, be daily filled with the Spirit. And if you and I seek to be daily filled with the Spirit, we will cope with the hopeless situation and the world that we are facing. Christ lives in us by his Spirit, and by this means we can recognize the reality of God's rule governing us and leading us in a dangerous world. But Jesus also taught his disciples that the kingdom was not only within them, because the Holy Spirit lives within them. He taught his disciples that the kingdom of God is to come. Now, you know, you will never understand Paul's epistles unless you understand the concept of the already and the not yet. Paul will tell you that, yes, we are redeemed, but we're not yet fully redeemed. We will be when Jesus comes. And the kingdom of God is here, but it is also to come in its fullness. And it is biblical Christianity that declares an age is coming when pain and suffering and sorrow will be no more. And we must never deny or forget this. There is a day coming. Eye had not seen, ear had not heard, neither had it entered the mind of man, the things that God has prepared for him. And so, yes, the kingdom of God was within them. But in a sense, the kingdom of God is yet to come, and to come in its fullness. But Jesus also taught his disciples that the kingdom was among them. The kingdom was among them. And by this means, our Lord tells us, in order that our vision will not become so dim, our faith will not become so weak, and our confidence so low that we cannot see that God is still at work in our world. The kingdom of God is among you. Take hope, because we're not alone. You remember that chorus? He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got South Africa in his hands. He's got East London in his hands. He's got Beacon Bay Baptist in his hands. He's got you and me, brother and sister, in his hands. And if you're in my hand, he says, no one is going to pluck you out. And the kingdom was among the disciples. You know why? Because Jesus was in their midst. And Jesus is the very embodiment of the kingdom of God. He was right there. And today the kingdom is amongst us, because through the Holy Spirit, the risen Christ is still amongst us. And you know, he's amongst us, vindicating his promise. And what was his promise? His promise was, lo, I am with you even to the close of the age. We're not alone. And he's enabling those who put their trust in God to find faith and courage to stare down every enemy and every adversity and declare, I put my hope in God. My hope is not in the ANC or the DA. My hope is in God. I put my hope in God. When darkness seems to hide the face of Christ, when disappointment and distress seek to overwhelm us and swallow us up, when sadness seeks to drown our songs of joy in a sea of despair, we must hear again Jesus' words about the imminent kingdom. He says, the kingdom of God is among you. Let's not forget that. And Jesus' message is meant to remind us that whatever we make of all that's happening around us, never lose sight of this: God is still on the throne. God is still on the throne. And he will remember his own. Though trials may press us and burdens distress us, he never will leave us alone. God is still on the throne. His promise is true. He will not forget you. God is still on the throne. And so Jesus' words are meant to reaffirm that whatever interpretation we put on the unfolding dilemmas our world faces, God is still in charge. And God is still at work. And God is not dead. Now, there's a movie on the circuit at the moment, God is not dead, number two. God is alive. Never forget that. And make no mistake about it. No power on earth can overthrow the kingdom of God. You hear me? No power on earth can overthrow the kingdom of God. You know, in the old dispensation, the Christian church was protected. We're not protected any longer in this country. We need to stand on our feet and stand for righteousness and truth, and we're not going to be popular. But neither was Jesus popular for standing for the truth. But no power, not even this government, can stand against the kingdom of God. If God be for us, who can be against us? Are we not reminded also in the word that the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever? Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Ours is the challenge now to believe that that reign that began many years ago is still alive among us, whether we can discern it or not. This reign is a reality whether we recognize it or not. And this reign will last forever. No force can ever stop it. That is why believers in the Lord Jesus Christ can reject pessimism and optimism and instead choose hope. Hope in the triune God. We are prisoners of hope. And in this we found our freedom, because our hope is in God Almighty. And by this hope we are nourished and sustained from day to day. That's why it's important to spend your quiet time with the Lord daily. That is why it's important to be daily filled with the Spirit, so that you don't lose hope during that day. Because the Spirit of God will keep us and sustain us and give us God's assurance and scripture. Did you know that there are over 30,000 promises in the Word of God? And the promises are for the child of God. And so, as I conclude, whatever the developments that threaten to shake our confidence, as believers, we will not lose hope, because our hope is not in man, our hope is in God. Our hope is in the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, we are not pessimistic. We're not optimistic. You know what? We are realistic, and we recognize the state of the world, but we are people of hope. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in Colossians 1 verse 27. He says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ still reigns. The kingdom of God is among you. He said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this present age. He is still the helper of the helpless, the hope of the hopeless, the strength of the weak. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He gives us grace to carry on. And so I want to remind you this morning, as a child of God, let's not lose hope. The kingdom of God is within you. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. In me, yes, Jesus is alive in me. He taught us that the kingdom of God is to come. Yes, there's a day coming when sorrows and trial and suffering and pain will be no more. But in the meantime, in this world, you're going to have trials and tribulations, said Jesus. He says, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And he taught us that the kingdom was among them. And you know what? Jesus is amongst us. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He's in our world. It's his world. He brought it into being. He died for it. And he's going to redeem his world. And so, brothers and sisters, in the midst of lots of anxiety, concern, disappointment, discouragement, let me encourage you this morning. We are on the victory side. And if God be for us, who or what can be against us? What shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? Shall tribulation, shall hardship, shall famine, shall sword? Now, Paul says in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Let's pray together. Let us stand as we close in prayer. And Pastor, why don't you come and close for us in prayer and commit us to the Lord, and also do the benediction.